The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Now, from our nation's capital, this is Bloomberg Sound On.
I hope a lot of people are going to pay a big price because they're dishonest, crooked people. They're scum.
It's high time that we've seen the government finally take some action against this man.
It's wrong. They shouldn't be doing this to him.
Demands and expectations on the FBI have never been higher.
Bloomberg Sound On.
Politics, policy, and perspective.
From D.C.'s top names.
This bill funds the entire semiconductor supply chain.
I was a no last week. I was a no last night. And I'll be the first no later today.
Bloomberg Sound On with Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Radio.
The FBI throws down at Mar-a-Lago, and we still, at this hour, do not know what they were looking for. Welcome to the fastest hour in politics, a day after the warrant was served, and the political fallout has been swift. We'll bring you reaction from the White House and discuss the investigation with Donald Trump's former acting chief of staff and former Congressman Nick Mulvaney. We'll tap the expertise of Kim Whaley, former assistant U.S. attorney, law professor at the University of Baltimore, and our panel today, Bloomberg Politics contributor, Republican strategist Rick Davis, along with Democratic strategist Kevin Walling of HG Creative Media. We'll get to Mick in a second. It's been about 24 hours now since the FBI left the grounds of Mar-a-Lago. No official word from the agency, the FBI or the Department of Justice, for that matter, or from Donald Trump, who should, of course, have a copy of that search warrant by now, right? Doesn't he know what they were looking for? The official reaction from the White House today did not arrive until about, well, an hour and a half ago. You can probably imagine how this goes. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre today with reporters in the briefing room. Let's listen.
Again, I'm just not going to comment on any reaction to what happened yesterday. We are going to refer any incoming to the Department of Justice.
There it is.
But that's not really about DOJ. It's more about what might be coming your way if the election does not go your way.
That's a hypothetical, and I'm just not going to entertain it at this time.
Gonna do it. Both Republican senators from Florida, well, if not every Republican senator in the chamber, denounced the move. As we turn to our top guest, and I've been looking forward to this conversation, former White House Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, former congressman. Mick, it's great to have you here. I appreciate your time today. What a 24 hours this has been. We're all hungry for information, and there's so much we don't know. You say on Twitter that if this is only about document retention, it should cost Merrick Garland his job. Do you believe the Department of Justice would have been able to get a search warrant for a former United States president if that's all this is?
Joe, hey, thanks for having me. Ordinarily, in a real world, the answer would be no. There's no way you could get that. But keep in mind, and this is part of the background and part of the backlash, this is the same Department of Justice that lied to a FISA court about getting about having investigations done on Trump during the Russia investigation. It's the same Department of Justice that lied about Hunter Biden's laptop to the public and to the media during the election. So
you think they would have rigged the warrant, basically?
And who knows at this point? That's why I think it's so important the Department of Justice say something and talk about this. I recognize the fact, we all do, that that's not ordinary course of business, that they don't talk about ongoing investigations. That's great. I understand. It makes complete sense. This is no longer ordinary course of business.
Because of the target or the proximity to the elections or both?
All of the above, mostly the target. We have never ransacked the home of a former president before under a criminal search warrant. That just doesn't happen. So I think all the rules sort of have to go out the window, the Department of Justice, and they have to say, look, we weren't looking for ordinary random documents that might technically violate the statute. Yep. We were looking for stuff that ties Trump to criminal activity on January 6th. Something like that might calm things down a little bit.
So if they can say it. You've offered two possibilities here, Mick, and well, I guess they kind of balance each other out. One, you write, the most egregious political hit job our government has ever undertaken against a politician in U.S. history, or, and I feel like that's where you're leaning at the moment, or two, evidence of the most significant criminal investigation of a politician in U.S. history. You say the DOJ needs to show us which it is. There's huge pressure on Merrick Garland now to hold a news conference. Can he do that, though? I mean, to your point, speak publicly about a criminal investigation?
Yeah, I think your instinct is right, by the way, to say that I'm leaning towards the first of those, that it's a political hit job, just because of the history, right? If you don't have the history, then the tie goes to the Department of Justice. They get the benefit of the doubt, but they have a track record, proven track record for lying about Donald Trump. So I think the burden is on them to show that this is legitimate. I think it would help if Merrick Garland would come out and say, look, we were not interested in looking for small stuff. We were looking for thus and such. Here's what we found.
That doesn't jeopardize what they're doing. I mean, that would be the line, of course, from the DOJ.
I that's going to be the argument at the risk of what? Ripping the country apart. I mean, that's really where you are right now. You've got people, you know, parading in front of Mar-a-Lago, waving flags, saying that the government's coming to get them. And they might be right. So
do you believe the White House, that President Biden and the administration did not know about this, that they heard about it on the news like everybody else?
When you say the administration, I don't believe that. I mean, Merrick Garland had to sign off on this, and he's in the administration.
Fair. Outside of the DOJ, though, at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
I don't think there's any way in the world they would have known, because I think even the political people would have said, whoa, why don't we wait to do this after the midterms, guys? Because if we get this wrong, it's going to cost us 15 seats in the House. So I think politically, the Biden administration, the Biden White House is probably beating their head up against the wall going, we just had great news on a bill. We've had a success for the first time.
Momentum's now Trump's raising money on the FBI again.
Exactly. And the Republicans have a chance now. We just hired the federal government. What if I'm a Republican candidate? What am I saying? They just spent a bunch of money, borrowed a bunch of money to make inflation worse, to hire 80,000 IRS agents to come after you. And they stuck, you know, they sent a political hit squad to go get Donald Trump. That's pretty compelling last minute campaign tactics.
Complete with images of guys in riot gear at the gates. The thing is, if you believe President Biden didn't know, this is all arrows pointing to the point of your tweet toward Merrick Garland. You think he's operating on his own here?
I hope so. I mean, that's the way you want the Department of Justice worker. You don't want politics in law enforcement. Nancy Pelosi is right. No one should be above the law, but nobody should be beneath it either. And we shouldn't be targeting people because of their political associations. And right now, because of the track record and because of the way this was carried out, it gives a very strong inference that there's politics behind this that puts the burden on the DOJ. Keep in mind, why do I say that the way this was carried out? I don't understand how anybody made the case that they had to go get a search warrant, right? So they had to say there's probable cause that the crime was committed, probable cause
what they're seeking
at Mar-a-Lago, and probable cause that it was going to go away real quickly. Trump isn't even there. He's in New York and New Jersey. So what did they find out in the last 24 hours that makes this so incredibly pressing, where they couldn't just send a subpoena for these documents?
These are great questions. Very, very strange. This is what we don't have the answer to. You know, look, we've been all hearing and reading a lot of stuff, Mick Mulvaney, as the president's chief of staff. Were you ever worried about document retention? Was this a conversation you had, or somehow violating the Presidential Records Act?
Yeah, well, keep in mind, this is not the Presidential Records Act is not what the DOJ is going on. The Presidential Records Act is not a criminal statute. There's a broader criminal statute on destroying documents of the United States, and that's what they're going after him on. The Presidential Records Act is in U.S. Code Section 40, Title 40, not in Title 18, and is not a criminal proceeding. But the answer to your question is, we always worried about documents.
How many times did you see the president destroy or dispose of documents?
Never saw him thrush anything out of the toilet. What I saw was the ordinary course of business that I used to do when I was a lawyer. If we had a document and we made a change to it, he might rip it in half and throw the one we weren't using on the floor. And we would have somebody come in and tape it back together and make a copy of it. That's wow. Every White House does that. But what you read about in the Washington Post, excuse me, the New York Times, was the alleged intentional destruction of key documents. And I never saw that.
Earlier today, former President Trump posted a very carefully produced video. You've probably seen it by now. It's more of a movie trailer. It's a good 3-4 minutes long. It's called A Nation in Decline. And it's got a lot of people thinking he's sort of somehow quietly announcing a run for re-election. And we go through this every 3 days. But let's listen to part of it. Listen to the language.
We're a nation that has weaponized its law enforcement against the opposing political party like never before. We've never seen anything like this. We're a nation that no longer has a free and fair press. Fake news is about all you get. We're a nation where free speech is no longer allowed, where crime is rampant like never before, where the economy has been collapsing, where more people died of COVID in 2021 than
unclear
in 2020.
Exactly where this was recorded. Sarah Palin's seen in the front row. The thunder was added for what it's worth, and the music. But Mick, the president used the words we often hear from Republicans and have certainly in the last 24 hours. Law enforcement has been weaponized. Marjorie Taylor Greene and other Trump supporters are tweeting defund the FBI. Is it because of the cases you mentioned, or do many conservatives' distrust of the FBI go back to Watergate?
Let's make one thing perfectly clear. I think I refuse to accept the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene speaks for anybody other than the extreme white ring nut job of the party. So
understood. The hashtag's getting some love, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of crazies out there, and that's right. Her base. Right? She's not a serious person. But anyway, I don't think it goes back necessarily to Watergate. I mean, let's be honest. I'm probably one of the oldest people you'll talk to today, and I was barely alive during Watergate. So if there's
this is about your experience in the Trump administration.
Exactly. If it's a hatred for Watergate, it's historical and not personal. Now, I think it goes back to a natural distrust, perhaps, of government, a belief, yep. And it is not unfounded that government service attracts Democrats. I can tell you, we do another hour long in another day about how the Democrats have taken over all the agencies I worked for, the CFPB. You know, you work for the State Department, so that stuff is real. So no, I don't think it goes back to Watergate. Certainly the soil is fertile for Republicans to think the government is out to get them because Democrats run it even under Republican administrations. And what happened last night in Mar-a-Lago just feeds that, which brings us full circle back to the original comment. The Department of Justice, it's incumbent upon them, I think in the name of integrity of their institution, to come out and tell us more than they have.
You testified before the January 6th committee, I understand. Does this search of Mar-a-Lago kind of balance with what you were hearing in the January 6th hearings? Is there any crossover potentially in your mind that, hey, the DOJ found something on these dual track investigations that are feeding each other?
Yeah, I mean, the crossover would be if they were both looking at the same information, certainly not my information. My information was more about the election and so forth, had nothing to do with document retention or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it's important to know that January 6th is a political process that has political outcomes. Liz Cheney cannot throw Donald Trump in jail, regardless of how badly and desperately she wants to. Mm-hmm. The Department of Justice is real. It's supposed to be real, at least. I hope that it is real. And it's very, very different. Could they be sharing information or have cross-fertilization of information? Absolutely.
Sounds like you were asked what you thought of as reasonable questions, or is there going to be a Mick Mulvaney bombshell a couple weeks down the road the next time there's a hearing?
No, they might put a video in there about a text I sent the week after the election when I was complaining that I was hearing from the RNC, Ronna McDaniel, Jared Kushner, Bill Stepien, Justin Clark, that we had lost the election. Yeah. In the days after the election, yet they wanted us to go out on television and tell people we had still won. I didn't take that very well. In fact, I stopped going on television after that meeting. So that may see some light during the hearings. But mostly they were, you know, background questions about some texts I sent on January 6th, and then also how people get meetings with the president. That type.
I appreciate your answering that. Kevin McCarthy says there's going to be a select committee once he holds the gavel, assuming that happens after November, to create a select committee to investigate Merrick Garland. He tweets, you know, clear your schedule. Is that the right move?
I mean, the oversight is the proper function of Congress. It's actually one of their constitutional duties. They do it for the purpose of being a part of their duty to be a check on the executive branch, they're also part of their duty to make law. Keep in mind, ostensibly, the purpose, the justification for the January 6th committee is to see if we need to change the electoral process laws. But no, I think, listen, if they, part of me hopes they find a dead body. Okay. And here's why I say that. Because in that mind, it, at least that means that they were serious.
Right.
And talk about the FBI now. And then I can have some faith in the institution. If they find a document that Donald Trump scribbled something on that should have been left in Washington and wasn't, and they try and ban him from office and charge him with a felony because of that, all of my faith in the system will be gone. And then we have real problems as a nation.
Former White House Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney. Read his thoughts on Twitter as well. If you didn't hear this entire conversation or subscribe to the podcast, I've been looking forward to this, Mick, and thank you for your insights today. Remembering that he resigned from the administration on the night of January 6th. He was not the acting chief of staff at that point, but in fact a special envoy to Northern Ireland.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
I'm Joe Matthew in Washington. Welcome to Sound On. Boy, when we woke up this morning, when I heard Tom Keene's tone of voice on Bloomberg surveillance, I knew we were in for a day, and it has been one. Deeply curious to hear what Rick Davis has to think about this. Bloomberg politics contributor, of course, Republican strategist. Rick, what do you think about what you heard from Mick Mulvaney? Are you of the same mind that Merrick Garland needs to step forward?
Yeah, I heard very little I would question about Mick's comments. I think he's spot on. I think there is definitely a uniqueness to this. This is an unusual event in American history. And I feel like every week we're saying that about Donald Trump. He does create unusual events. And I think one thing to be reminded, this is happening because of Donald Trump, not because of the FBI. This has been an ongoing challenge for not just the archives, but the FBI and the Justice Department for over a year. They've been trying to get their hands on these records. And if not for Donald Trump's recalcitrance to do that, this would never have happened. So number one, I think it needs to be reminded to everybody that the federal government has been working with the people around Donald Trump and Donald Trump himself personally to get access to these records. And it's only because they refused to give them that the FBI had to act in this way. Yeah. And the Justice Department had to get a subpoena. So that being said, this is a former president of the United States. We don't weaponize politically our justice system. And I think part of what we learned in the January 6th hearings has been the admirable efforts by Attorney General Barr and his team to not weaponize DOG when Donald Trump was trying to politically weaponize it. So, you know, for him to now call foul, it rings hollow. But at the same time, you have to wonder, what is the strategy the Department of Justice has? Because this certainly looks like a political hit job, right, in the surface. And so unless they define it as something different, this is what we're left to think.
I want to add Kevin Walling to the conversation as we formally assemble our panel, Democratic strategist, HG Creative Media. It's been a while, Kevin, and I'm glad you're with us today. And I'm sure you have some pretty deliberate thoughts about this. Would you weigh in as well? You heard Mick Mulvaney talk about Merrick Garland, not President Biden, but in fact, Merrick Garland pursuing political ends. Does he need to hold a news conference and tell us what the heck is going on in Florida?
Joe, it's good to be with you and good also to be with Rick. You know, I agree completely with what Rick just said in terms of his views on what Mick said. I don't know necessarily if it has to be Merrick Garland, but it certainly has to be Christopher Wray. And I think Director Wray actually adds some credence to this as one of the few Trump appointees still serving in the federal government. Obviously, an FBI director's term outlasts a presidential term. So certainly this was a search carried out by the FBI. I think to Rick's point, because we don't have any kind of knowledge previously or now today in the wake of this, this vacuum is now consuming all of us, especially on the right wing, conservative media outlets crying foul, ginning up all these Trump supporters and things like that. And we certainly need to have some insights and guidance provided by the FBI Director Wray. And potentially also the attorney general.
Starting to wonder if this might actually happen. Rick and Kevin are with us for the hour. We're going to spend a lot more time with them in our second half. But we want to add a legal voice to this as well. Kimberly Whaley, former assistant U.S. attorney and professor of law at the University of Baltimore. Kimberly, I know it's been a very busy day for you. I want to welcome you. Are we asking the right questions here? This comes down to what they were looking for before we can answer anything else.
Well, we don't know exactly what they're looking for, in part probably because it involves classified information. So I doubt, unless there is a criminal trial and something were actually admitted into evidence, that if the Justice Department does its job, as it should, to keep this information secret as is required under federal law, I don't think it will become public. And I understand people are wondering about this, but it's important to keep in mind that the Fourth Amendment and the federal judiciary are protecting the rights of Donald Trump and others that were affected yesterday by this very important execution of a search warrant.
So assuming this goes to trial, then, we may not know for months or a year or more, even as Donald Trump is deciding whether to run for president. The DOJ is not exactly running on overdrive here. This is a quiet and slow process. What's your thought on a timeline? Or do we never know?
We won't necessarily ever know. And it's very difficult, given that it's a former president, right, to separate the politics from the law. I mean, as a legal voice in this, you know, we do know that information, 15 boxes at least, were brought outside the White House in a manner that violated the Presidential Records Act and the various mechanisms that are in place to ensure post-Watergate that those documents stay with the people. They belong to the people, and to the extent which there's classified or national security information, et cetera, that left the White House, that is a danger to the country. So, you know, that's I really do think Merrick Garland is primarily in this moment doing his job and not so much worrying about the politics. But of course, it's impossible to escape that big issue. I mean, of course, yesterday was an anniversary of Nixon resigning. We're in another real constitutional crisis right now.
I can't take all the irony. The thing is, though, does that justify does that slam dunk a search warrant like this for the home of a former president of the United States, the Presidential Records Act or whatever it is that we're talking, destruction of documents? Is that, in fact, enough to have 100 FBI agents show up? I mean, they're holding assault weapons in front of the gates. This is pretty heavy stuff.
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone can say anything about a slam dunk without having full information. I'm quite sure that the judge that signed off on this did it kicking and screaming, given the implications. That is, that there was, you know, substantial probable cause to justify this, given the stakes that we're just talking about. As far as how the FBI does its job, you know, what they were concerned about, again, all speculation. You know, so far, Merrick Garland has proceeded very privately, cautiously. He hasn't turned it into a political process from the day he took office. So I trust the system. And, you know, frankly, Donald Trump is the person to blame for this because he, in a lot of ways, didn't follow the rules. And we all follow the rules, right? We pay our taxes. We stop at red lights. We follow the law. And, you know, presidents should do the same thing. And I'm not getting out the violins for him in this moment, as much as I understand that people who support him politically are upset by it.
Well, based on what we heard from Mick Mulvaney, document retention was kind of a constant concern in this administration. Kimberly, thank you for being here. Kimberly Whaley's former assistant U.S. attorney, professor of law at the University of Baltimore. I'd like to take one more swing with the panel here as we spend time with Rick Davis and Kevin Walling. Rick, I played a snippet of this this incredible video that Donald Trump posted, of course not on Twitter, just hours after, you know, people were waking up and getting their heads around this. Some think it's tantamount to a campaign announcement. It almost looks like a movie trailer. Rick, how did it hit you? What's he trying to say?
Well, first of all, what really hit me was that this was ready to go, production quality, the morning after this attack, the raid on Mar-a-Lago. And mm-hmm. and I questioned even calling it a raid, but like as you described with the stormtroopers standing in front of Mar-a-Lago, it's kind of like that was the message they were sending, is we are raiding Mar-a-Lago. We need all this heavy equipment, guns and things like that. I mean, yeah. It's just like normally you need flip-flops to get into Mar-a-Lago. You don't really need a weapon.
It's a desperate view of the country, though. I mean, we've talked about some of his recent speeches. This was despair. You see a guy getting stabbed. You see destruction in Ukraine. My goodness, they're showing oil spigots and clouds coming in. You can hear the thunder. Kevin, was that a campaign announcement or what?
Well, it certainly looked like one. Listen, I can't obviously say on Bloomberg Radio what President George W. Bush said in the wake of President Trump's inaugural address, but it's struck a similar kind of chord in terms of the death and destruction previewed in this spot. And of course, former President Trump has been hinting at this race in 2024 to provide some kind of basis of pushing back against what the Department of Justice is doing.
And this
what
might be the
Fulton
inflection
County
point.
Attorney is doing. And exactly right. And to Rick's point, this was certainly not something that was produced within 12 hours. This was ready to go should this happen.
Been on the shelf for a minute. Rick Davis, Kevin Walling, great conversation. They'll be back in just a couple of minutes as we turn to an important D.C. court ruling involving Trump's tax returns. This is Bloomberg.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Broadcasting live from our nation's capital, Bloomberg 99.1. To New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Sound On with Joe Matthew.
What an incredible case of timing as a federal judge rules as well today that Donald Trump's tax returns must be turned over to the House Ways and Means Committee. So where's this going? You don't actually think he's going to hand over 6 years of tax returns. We talked to an expert next, Bloomberg Congress and tax reporter Laura Davison. And another excuse to talk about Donald Trump's tax returns, though doesn't the story always end the same way? Trump tax returns must be given to House panel. Court rules, the headline. And Laura Davison shares the byline. The president's tax returns, Laura, welcome, must be turned over to the Ways and Means Committee. Is this going to the Supreme Court? We don't actually think this is going to happen, do we?
Don't know yet. So the court ruled, this is upholding a lower court ruling that the Ways and Means Committee could get Trump's tax returns. Trump does have the option to appeal this, and then the Supreme Court has the option if they want to hear the case. You know, very likely that Trump will appeal this case, and it's, however, unclear if the Supreme Court will choose to hear this.
What other options? Does he have a legal option from here?
Not really, other than to appeal. That's kind of his option. If the Supreme Court hears it, there will be some outcome there. If not, this ruling would stand. So it could mean that the Ways and Means eventually gets these tax returns. They said today they expected to get them immediately, but that's highly unlikely. Yeah. The real question and the real deadline is January here. If the House flips control and Republicans come in, it's highly unlikely they're going to continue to pursue this litigation. And as we know, courts move notoriously slowly. So that's really, it's a Trump against the clock of the congressional calendar.
Interesting. Richard Neal, the chair of Ways and Means, we should know, has been asking for this for a long time, as you point out, since 2019. 6 years worth of Trump's returns. On what grounds does the committee, this is not January 6th, this is not an election-related committee. Why does Ways and Means get them?
Well, Ways and Means deals with all tax issues, and there's actually a specific section of the tax code that says that all of the tax committees in Congress, there's three of them, the chairman of any of those can request the tax returns of anyone, including
for any
the
reason.
President. For any, well, the reason, they need to have some sort of legislative purpose. If they're looking at conducting oversight, compliance, if they're looking to pull some data from a whole swath of tax returns to maybe if they want to create some sort of new tax law, they can do that. So they have said that they need legislative purpose to make sure that the president is being audited properly. That's their justification. And, we'll see what the courts say.
Bloomberg Congress and tax reporter Laura Davison with the insights. You're the first voice I heard on the radio this morning. On an early and dark morning listening to Bloomberg Radio. Laura, great job, and thank you for being with us. Let's reassemble the panel here and get the take of Republican strategist Rick Davis, Bloomberg Politics contributor, joined today by Kevin Walling, Democratic strategist at HG Creative Media. Rick, you're rolling your eyes on this one. We've been talking about Donald Trump's tax returns for longer than the returns they are seeking.
I would like to simulate a yawn at this point.
Okay, fine.
look, I mean, this has been the battle that's going on forever. And I just believe what Donald Trump says, which is, that you're a chump if you pay your taxes. And I'm assuming that what we'll find out, if we ever find out, is that he didn't pay his taxes. And yet, it's just another piece of wood on the wood pile that you're throwing on the fire right now. And honestly, I mean, I don't think it'll affect anything. I think people have already marked him to market, and that is that, he's not a taxpayer. He finds ways in the code to do it, probably with a wink and a nod, and that's what we'll find out. And I don't think anybody would be surprised, but I do think, the deadline is close. Mm-hmm. The Republicans get into leadership in the House, and there will no longer be an effort to get his tax returns.
Bye-bye tax returns. Are you buying this, Kevin Walling? You don't think you're ever going to see those documents, do you?
I mean, we'll certainly see. I mean, the most surprising thing for me coming out of this and reading more about this is that we still have a Reagan judge on the appellate court ruling who wrote the decision along with a Bush 41 judge and an Obama judge. So obviously it was a universal decision. You mentioned, Joe, Chairman Richie Neal has been after these for quite a while. I was just with him the other week. We were celebrating great Irish Americans in Congress. So I think this is a Democratic action more not just for Trump, but for the ages in terms of the power of the Congress. This speaks to kind of setting in stone the rights of the legislative branch, the first article against the second article, or against any kind of individual who wants to withhold their tax returns.
So did you think the gentleman from Springfield will ever get a look at these? Kevin, that Donald Trump supporters have made really clear over years they don't care.
And Rick makes a great point. I mean, that's one of the key things we know about Donald Trump is that he pays as little in tax as possible. We saw some of that from previous returns that were released back from the 90s. So I don't think it moves the ball down the field whatsoever. We know that he's if not a tax cheat, a tax avoider. So I don't think it has any real effect heading into this midterm year, and certainly if he runs in 2024.
I know you're not a lawyer, Rick, but what's your gut on the Supreme Court? Do they take this or no?
I would be surprised if they weigh in on this. I think they know the clock as well as anybody, and I think they see this for what it is. And I think the point you're making is an important one, and that is that this is a separation of power. This is a regulatory power that Congress has. But, like, don't you want to use it for something that actually seems more legitimate than what I see as a political attack against Donald Trump? Sure. I think he should have presented his tax returns when he was a candidate so that the public could decide. But at this point, is there really, I mean, like, we're audited, you know, we want to know if the president is being audited properly? Come on. Yep. I mean, that's just, you know, it's, that,
just
that bar
fulfilling
is
the
too
narrative
low.
That we talked about with law enforcement, with federal law enforcement, Rick. The only thing people that many conservatives hate more than the FBI is the IRS, right?
Well, I think, you know, it's the image of the IRS, you know, which is
with new funding,
you know, that they just assume you're violating the law until you prove otherwise. And that's not what we learned when we were in school about, you know, innocent until proven guilty. And so I do think this is a fundamental problem, which is, you know, we have these separation of powers for a reason. And yet the key is that they're used responsibly. And I just really question whether or not either the executive branch or the judiciary, or in the case of the raid on Mar-a-Lago, that the executive branch working with the judiciary, are they really functioning in the way they're supposed to, or are they being weaponized?
Some serious questions being posed this hour. Bloomberg Politics contributor Rick Davis will be back with Kevin Walling of HG Creative Media as we point toward the midterms, already raising money in the near term until we hear from Merrick Garland. If we hear from Merrick Garland, is this a win for Trump? Nobody's talking about the CHIP Act today. We'll have more ahead. I'm Joe Matthew. This is Bloomberg.
This is Bloomberg Sound on Bloomberg Radio.
Think right place, wrong time. The case for President Biden today. Imagine the CHIP Act finally passes after all the wrangling. It hit his desk last week, and the White House waited for just the right time to throw a celebration in the sun on the South Lawn. Then the FBI happened in Mar-a-Lago. Listen to President Biden today with the victory lap.
Intel, whose CEO is here today, Pat Gelsinger, is here today. He's going to break ground in the next generation semiconductor factory in Central Ohio early this fall. American company Micron is announcing today that because of this law, it's going to invest $40 billion over 10 years to build factories and special chips called memory chips that store information on your smartphone.
Commerce Secretary, a lot of coughing in that address today, too. Thank you, COVID. I'm assuming COVID. Gina Raimondo, the Commerce Secretary, has told us repeatedly how important this is. Not just your washing machine and your whatever else you need. Your radio, how about that? But national security, missiles, airplanes, we can't build them for ourselves, Ukraine, or anyone without a steady supply of semiconductors. So this was seen as a pretty big win and a bipartisan win. This is just the kind of day that Joe Biden looks forward to, even though it was 150 degrees with no cover on the South Lawn. Did anyone get carried out of there? I would have been. There's no way I would have survived that. Aviators, this was supposed to be it. But it's not a major headline today because of everything we're talking about with Donald Trump. Bloomberg Politics contributor Rick Davis back with us. Republican strategist joined today by Kevin Walling, Democratic strategist, HG Creative Media, as we reassemble our panel here. Rick, Joe Biden can't win. This was supposed to be a layup, right?
Yeah, talk about a victory lap without anybody attention to it. You know, it's the classic, does a tree fall in a forest if nobody hears it? You know,
the stakeholders were there. They know that's about it, though.
Yeah, and it's like the ghost of Donald Trump just continues to haunt this guy. But look, it doesn't take the shine off his victory lap. I mean, the reality is this is something that they'll dine out on politically for quite some time between now and November. They've had a great week. They're building on a great month. Who would have ever thought you could rebuild a presidency in August? That is a first. So I think it's a daunting task. If you'd asked me, you know, in July whether he could pull this off, I'd have said absolutely not. And I was wrong. I mean, he's done an amazing job in this month of trying to rebuild his presidency.
But no one's going to hear about it, Kevin, or reward Democrats for it as long as we're distracted by everything else. January 6th, now it's Mar-a-Lago, the war in Ukraine. I could keep going.
I mean, you're absolutely right, Joe. I mean, and to Rick's point, not only did this happen in August, but with the president having pretty much two bouts of COVID back to back and kind of being sidelined, obviously working from the residence. But it's been a great 2 weeks for this administration. And if there was any indication that the White House was not given forewarned knowledge of this action at Mar-a-Lago, this is it. I mean, this totally captured the press cycle that they wanted with the rollout of the CHIPS bill, with you know, not just that today, but Sweden and Finland, the accession for those two countries into NATO that happened right after the CHIPS ceremony, which is a big win on the international stage for this president. Totally,
and again,
overshadowed
tree falls
by what
the
happened
woods.
In Palm Beach.
So, exactly, yeah, what do you tell the communications office? I played Karine Jean-Pierre earlier. They're not talking about this. Do they need to cool it for a while here? Maybe schedule, assuming it passes the reconciliation signing in, like, you know, after Labor Day.
I think so. I mean, I think we got to do it when folks are paying attention. Mm-hmm. The president also had an incredibly powerful visit to Kentucky as well this past year, past week. That's been totally overshadowed,
also snuffed
obviously,
out.
By that, totally sniffed out by that. So the press cycle is everything, what folks are tuned to. And again, just the 24-hour news cycle, what we're talking about right now on Sound On, it's just totally engulfed by Donald Trump.
What a time to be alive.
And rightly so. I mean, this is what people are talking about.
Well, that's true. As Donald Trump said, another day in paradise, Rick. I want to be careful with this, but I feel like a responsibility to ask you both. There was an enormous amount of coughing in the speech today, more than we've heard from Joe Biden, and the White House has been asked about that. Do we chalk that up to COVID, or do we need to ask the press office again what's going on, Rick?
You know, look, I mean, you know, we monitor president's health by a minute. It's almost like we're all the vice president, right? What's our job? Hey, how you feeling today? The reality is it's a question that has to be answered. It was really apparent. It was unfortunate that he had such an important event, a happy event for him that he couldn't enjoy. He was obviously under a lot of strain or discomfort because of the coughing. But it is a result of potentially COVID, and we know that he's been battling that for the last week. I would say it does seem kind of interesting that some of the greatest victories of this presidency, you know, including winning the election itself, has all been done by being a shut-in, right? I mean, he won the presidency from his basement, and he got the best week of his entire presidency while on COVID. So maybe they ought to just keep him in the basement.
Democrats, lock him in the residence.
Right.
Kevin, what's your take on this? Are we being fair to ask this question?
Certainly you're being fair, and obviously right at the outset, Karine Jean-Pierre in her press conference, I watched all of it today from the White House podium, fielded the initial questions about that coughing and talked about not just the president's negative COVID diagnosis, but the long-term effects of that, but now a use of inhaler too, which I think was news to me. I don't know if that was because of COVID or exacerbated by COVID. But certainly that's something that the administration needs to be forthright about.
And they did say that he's tested negative now, 2 days in a row? So they wouldn't have put him out
there.
Three days. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, we, of course, wish the best for him. But this is a concern. The health of the commander in chief is a really big deal. And when there's such a thing as long COVID and the risks that come with his age, this is obviously very sensitive business. Rick and Kevin, I want to ask you about the midterms. That's the first question everybody asked me on TV today. You know, what does this mean for November? And the fact is, we, of course, don't know. But, Rick, if Merrick Garland doesn't emerge, and this kind of stays the same way right now, this is a huge boost for Donald Trump and his endorsed candidates, right?
Well, it is.
Am I overplaying that?
I think you're overplaying it. I mean, you know, we've seen Donald Trump come back from really horrific moments, you know, the Access Hollywood right before the elections in 16 and things like that. So he has staying power. But you really wonder what motivates his base. I don't think that this will motivate his base any more than he's already motivated.
Okay.
I don't really see this as anything that's going to have an electoral impact. I mean, the fact that it overshadows all the news is a negative for the Biden campaign and what they're trying to accomplish with Congress, because it just sucks all the oxygen out of the air, as Kevin was saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you're really looking for an opening. I would say, if I were a Democratic strategist, I would say we're never going to have an opening with this guy. We have just got to trudge through this stuff. You know, I'd launch a infrastructure tour tomorrow if I thought I had the time of the president, you know, just because you're just running the clock down. And Donald Trump will do that to to you. He'll incapacitate you with all these crazy things that he can do on a moment's notice.
It's fascinating to watch this in real time. Kevin, how worried are you about the fundraising that's taking place right now? And how damaging could it be from your side of the aisle for Republicans to take on the refrain, defund the FBI?
Well, it's an interesting point. Listen, you know, I think, you know, coming out of quarter two, what we saw is just blockbuster hauls for the Democrats, you know, that are headed into the fall now.
You're not worried about a fundraising advantage because of this.
I'm not. What I'm interested in is the amount of money that Donald Trump himself is raising off of this, pulling resources from down ballot candidates in key Senate and House races. I think that has actually that more of an effect than kind of galvanizing, you know, donors to, you know, a down ballot congressional race in a heated district.
I think this is why
galvanizing money just to Donald Trump, which is what he wants.
This is why you don't announce, though, right, Rick? You cut yourself off at the knees. That money, he can only access $5,000, limits the fundraising, $5,000 from the PAC. He's going to drag this out, right?
Yeah, there's no question that you do try to manage the magic words, I'm running for president, so that you don't get limited. But look, the reality is that his folks are going to manage that fund if he's an announced candidate. And it's not like it's going anywhere, and it's all going to be used to his benefit. So
the RNC is going to stop paying his legal bills, though.
Well, you know, maybe you don't know that, right? I mean, like, he's got such a grip on this party. I mean, there's no doubt that they'll probably, Donald Trump will probably expect it to be happening that way. So the reality is it is an important event when it happens. And I think it has bigger impact on the field and the politics than it does on the money. He's going to be able to raise money for himself. But as Kevin says, that's just draining it from the rest of the party. The RNC is not raising that money for other candidates. He doesn't spend it on other candidates. And so, you know, the reality is, I think one of the stories we're going to be talking about, regardless of the outcome of the elections, is how many Senate races the Democrats outspent Republicans on, how many governor's races Democrats outspent governors on. I mean, like, you're seeing that lining up now, and you don't see the big fundraising initiative that Donald Trump could do for those candidates.
Only have 30 seconds, Kevin. As a Democrat, are you begging for him to run?
Absolutely. I've been begging for him to run for the last 3 months. I think that's actually one of the few things that can help us, along with what we saw out of Kansas with the Roe vote.
Biden to run?
Begging Donald Trump to announce that he runs.
Ah, see, I almost got you in trouble. I don't want anyone on this panel to have to apologize to the White House tomorrow. Kevin Walling, great to have you back. Thank you. Democratic strategist and, of course, principal at HG Creative Media. Rick Davis, our pal, Bloomberg Politics contributor, Republican strategist with the reality check for us every day. Voices of experience here on the fastest hour in politics. Yeah, Matt, take all the petty cash. This represents the last of the petty cash. I'll meet you back here tomorrow on the fastest hour in politics. I'm Joe Matthew. This is Bloomberg.
Do you love Elon Musk? Do you hate Elon Musk? Do you have no idea what to think about Elon Musk? Then we have just the show for you.
He's become even more larger than life.
Buying Twitter doesn't get us closer to Mars.
They are like really close to the edge of like everything falling apart.
Like, oh, Elon, I volunteer, put a chip in my brain.
Each week on this podcast, we'll break down, analyze, and debate the most important stories on Musk and his empire.
It's all one big universe. You just work for Elon Inc.
From Bloomberg Businessweek, this is Elon Inc. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.